Easter Sunday Service, The Risen Christ, by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 12 for a little bit. I included where I started because it kind of sets the stage for the rest of what the apostle has to say. Lord, guide us this morning. Help us to make your word all important in our lives. Help us to appreciate all that you've done, how you've worked in lives and continue to work in lives to make them what you want them to be. Help us to be vessels that you can work through. Shape us and mold us more and more into the image of Christ. Help us to declare His goodness and grace and forgiveness to the world. Help us not neglect to warn the world that there's great danger in not receiving Christ. Lord, help us, Lord, to be faithful. Lord, we pray for all those that are traveling today. Keep them in your care. And Lord, once again, I pray for our troops. Lord, you put a hedge of protection around about them, that you would keep them and guide them. Lord, we praise you for how you're able to do that. Lord, we thank you for just using us and others for your glory. Help us all to remember that we need to pray first and foremost, to keep you in our hearts and minds and always seek to serve you every day. It's not about us, it's about you and your will. Help us to surrender to that day by day, and Lord, to always be ready to remember our power, our strength comes from you. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit in your absence. Lord, help us to be so connected with Him that we are more identifiable by the world as followers of Christ. Lord, we pray you'll bless your word. What a joy it is to serve you. Help us to be a blessing. We ask in Christ's name, amen. The Apostle Paul is writing to one of the least spiritual churches. And I guess there must have been some among them because he's seeking to correct them and get them to think right. You know, you can't do right if you don't think right. It's essential for us as believers today to think right, to have the mind of Christ, to be, as it were, Christ in our world. Christ obviously was different than everybody else. And I'm not like Christ. I desire to be more like him, but God's still working on me. And I'm sure he's probably working on you as well, as he shapes us and develops us with life. Life happens. There's a lot of things I don't understand about life, but there's some pretty amazing things out there if you just open your eyes and see how God is working in our world. And I'm always amazed when God begins to do a work and he begins to work on individuals that you think there is no hope for. When I think about those things, I think about Brother Don Bales. He had what he called the 10 most wanted list. He had individuals on his prayer list, people that were probably hard-nosed, were probably many thought would be the most unlikely individuals to come to Christ. Don loved to pray for those people. I'm sure if Don had lived in the Apostle Paul's day, he would have been praying for Saul. Because he was obvious. Saul was obviously against Christ and everything Christ stood for. And individuals like that that do get saved make a tremendous difference in their world. And everybody can see, quite obviously, they are somebody else now. After they come to Christ, they're not the same as they used to be. They're changed dramatically. Now they're poles apart. Those who were once obviously against Christ are now obviously for Him. And people take note of that. I pray that our lives would be obvious. That people would see the difference in us. That Christ is inside of us. He's working in us. He's changing us into new people, new creatures in Christ. Now, these individuals at Corinth, some of them had wrong ideas about a number of things. One of the things that they obviously had a problem with is they thought there was no resurrection. Paul is going to set them straight. He's going to say, oh, but if there's no resurrection, we'll have no resurrection either. If there's no resurrection, we have no hope. If there's no resurrection, we don't have help for now. And a hope in the future. We lack all those things without the resurrection. See, the resurrection makes Christ different than any others that went before Him. Christ rose from the dead. But He rose after He died for our sins. And He's alive to show that He has power over death and sin. And because He lives, we have hope for tomorrow. And we have a help in the present. And praise God, our lives are different now because Christ has come in and He's transformed us and He's making us more and more like Him by means of His Word and the Holy Spirit of God working inside of us. I'm not what I intend to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And we are pressing on to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we're about today. God wants us to be developed so that when He comes in the air, we'll not be ashamed. Not be ashamed because we've made it, and we smelled like, one of the old preachers said, we smelled like smoke. We're that so close to the fire. God wants us to know the truth and live the truth. And Christ is that truth for us today. You know, sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around what Christ has done for you and me. But I'm grateful Christ came to this world. Without Him, we'd have no hope, no help, no assurance of a future that's greater than anything we can imagine. You know, we think we understand about heaven. But I'm convinced more and more day by day that we don't know the hem of the garment concerning the things about Christ. In fact, as I study, I realize there's more and more to be known of Christ. Glorious things, wonderful things. Because every little nugget I dig out, it's something, wow. When I don't know how to describe things, I just say, wow. And that's the way my Savior is for me. As He works in my life, and I pray that's the way He is in your life too. When He opens your eyes to a new truth concerning Himself. But if Christ is not raised, we have no future to look forward to. But you know what? Even though Paul explained it so clearly and concisely, it's important for us to grasp the same truths today. If Christ is not raised, our faith is vain. What are we believing in? Something that's not true? Further than that, we're yet in our sins. We have no forgiveness of sin. But praise be to God, God's word is true. Christ was faithful. He accomplished the task. And by the way, the scripture says He's the first fruits of those who have died. The first fruits, think about that. Those Jewish believers knew exactly what He was talking about. First fruits were the little offering that they went out to the field to gather. My dad would have been on the front line of gathering all those precious heads. He liked to get those with, what do you call it? But he had a different term than the scientists had. He called it three or four to the mash, rows of head of grain across. He called it mash. I think they call it another term. But he would pick out those heads that had like at least 13 or 14 long. So he'd go out to the corner where he got some special fertilizer, did really good, and he'd have him a bouquet of those that he would take to the Hornbaker reunion. Here's what I'm growing. And they said, whoa, wow, that's something. You know what? That's how they develop the new and the better plants. They pick out the best, the first, the choicest ones. And that's what they did back in the day. And they'd bring them to the priest. And the priest would wave that before God. And bless it. Looking forward to the further harvest that would be brought in. That was the first fruits. Christ is our first fruits. He's gone before us. He's risen. And He's the promise of that harvest of souls that's coming after Him. Praise God, we can be a part of that further harvest. We are a part who believe on Him and trust Him. And I pray that I will be some of the better seed, some of the seed that helps develop and grow others in the faith. Sometimes I wonder, what are you doing? What are you doing? Then we get to lead some person to Christ. And I say, it's worth it all. It's worth it all. They that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bearing the sheaves with them. You put a few kernels in the ground. And I asked the renter, I said, how much seed do you put on? He said, depends on the time of the year, The later it gets in the fall, we put on more. But generally, we're planting close to 2 bushel. I said, we used to plant 50 pounds. That old wheat would tiller. This new wheat will put out maybe 6 at the most, a lot of times 4 or even 3. We've got to plant it thicker, but it makes more. I scratch my head and I say, yeah, that size of wheat is a lot better than that size of wheat. Because if it rains in June, right before it's ready to harvest, it'll be flatter and flitter. And I know what it's like to pick up downed wheat that's this tall off the ground. It's hard to get it all. And you lose a lot. They learned. I'm learning. God has awesome ways of developing us to be better seed for our world. They said, young people, generation, what is it, X or something? Or Y? They got different generations.
Z.
V. Which one?
Z.
D.
Z.
Z. It might be Z. I wasn't paying half attention last night. And they said, Z. They have more interest in spiritual things. I pray they'll get the right spiritual things. That they'll check out what they're hearing with the Holy Spirit of God and His Word. Because people, the Holy Spirit of God and the Word always agree. And if you've got the wrong spirit directing, it doesn't matter how many's going that way. You hear what I'm saying? You got to check the spirits, try the spirits, see if they're of God or not. And I pray God will give discernment to our young people. They'll be discerned between truth and error. The Word of God, the Spirit of God always agree, but by the way, there's another spirit in the world, the spirit of Antichrist. And we need to alert the young ones concerning him. Paul was alerting these believers. Beware. Believe right so you can act right, so you can make the right kind of a difference in your world. Amen? I'm concerned. That God's truth goes forth. And that people will believe it, receive it, and apply it to their lives. Paul was concerned. He said, hey, it is essential that Christ be risen from the dead. Because if he hasn't risen, we're still in our sins over here. Verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead, he said, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So he's talking about Adam the first man and Christ the second, the one who gives us new living life through himself. Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. He is, by the way, the I Am in the Old Testament. I mean, he's there all through the book. Is Christ. Look and see. The Spirit of God will guide you and help you to see those pictures of Christ in the Old Testament become reality in the New Testament. Praise God. Christ is the theme of the whole book. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. That's the good news. New life in Christ. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I'm going to be. Christ in us is the hope of glory. Let Christ work through you, use you, empower you day by day, and simply be that person God wants you to be. Because different people reach different people. Are you listening? You see, you can reach different people than I can. God has people in your life that you can make a difference for. And God wants you to be an instrument He can use to bring others to Him as their Savior and Lord. Praise the Lord. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this great message concerning Christ that the apostle gave. Lord, he was faithful and true. Lord, we praise you that we have had so many go before us who were faithful as well. Help us to be faithful in our day. Help us to be the good seed, the seed that falls into the earth and brings forth 100-fold. Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you do in our lives. Lord, continue to work on us and in us. Use us for your glory. Make us into the people you desire us to be. Help us to say yes to you and no to the world every day. Lord, it is a chore at times, but help us to learn to develop that sense within us, Lord, that shows us this is the way that we ought to walk. This is what we ought to do. This is what we ought not to do. Teach us your ways, Lord. Help us and develop us, because we are lost and undone without you. But with you, all things are possible. Guide us, keep us in your care. Use us as your instruments for Christ's sake, we pray. Amen.
357.
I want to sing just a verse or two here. As we praise the Lord and anticipate what He's doing and will do in our lives.
Thank you.
stand up. Brother Terry, if you would come, please. Lord. It's always a very special privilege to partake of the Lord's Supper. Most of the time I call it communion when we do it at other times, but it is a joy to remember what Christ has done for us and recall that without Him giving His life for us, we would have no hope for the future. But Christ, we know, has died for us. He's paid the penalty for our sins. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I thank the Lord for that. Probably one of the first verses I teach you, new convert. Because we need to know that Christ is there for us. And He's ready to forgive if we're ready to confess our sin. We pray this morning that as we partake of these elements, God will bless us, that He will encourage us in our walk with the Lord, and help us to remember that all this is possible because of what Christ has done for us. First of all, just as the Lord offered the bread to His disciples, we offer the bread to you as well. The bread represents the body of Christ, the body of Christ which was broken for us. He bore our sins in His own body upon the tree. He died in our place. Because He lives, now we can live eternally through Him. And we thank the Lord that He has made us into new creatures in Christ, and He's continuing to shape us day by day. And more than that, one day He will complete that process. He will make us completely like Him, for we will see Him as He is. This bread is a reminder to us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we need to partake of that bread and become the people God wants us to be. Transformed by Christ as He works in our lives. Brother Terry, would you offer a prayer of thanks for the bread?
Father God, I thank You for this day, Father. I thank You for this beautiful day, Father, this day of You, Father, the hope that You give us, and the day of Your forgiveness of our sins, Father, and You just raise us up, Father, that we have the opportunity to be like You, Father, with Your blessing. And just ask and pray that You would just bless our lives, Father, as we follow You, and I just pray that Your will be done in our lives, Father. And I thank You for this time of being able to worship You and to just be reminded of what You sacrificed for us, Father. I just ask for Your blessing upon this proceeding, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
If you would receive the bread and then wait till all have been served, and then we'll all partake together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the apostle is instructing the Corinthians concerning the Lord's Supper. And he writes these words, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Scripture says, after the same manner, Christ took the cup and passed it. When we do that, I'm reminded of when I was a child, they had what was called the common cup. This morning, we're not going to have the common cup. We're all drink out of the same cup. I don't want you to all get sick. But I want us to remember what Christ has done for us. He's given us a beautiful memorial. To remember, it took Christ's blood to cleanse us of our sin. I'm thankful for good old hymns like, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." How true that is. Only one sinless, spotless Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world, was given to us. His name is Jesus. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And so with his blood, Christ has made peace between us and the Father. I'm so thankful we can now come boldly before the throne of grace because Christ is our advocate. He's provided our access to the Father. It's all about Him. This cup, these cups, remind us it took Christ's blood. The sinless, spotless Son of God laid down his life for us so that we could live eternally, have our sins forgiven, and live with him forever. Thanks be to God for his most gracious gift that he's given to us. Once again, as we partake of this element, I would ask that you would retain it until all have been served, and then we'll all partake together. Would you offer a prayer?
Lord, today we want to thank you for this great gift. We want to thank you that we could celebrate your resurrection today.
Amen.
We want to thank you for these elements that remind us of the great love you have for us. We ask that as we take this, we can remember your sacrifice, what you did. But again, thank you for your love. We just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. here reminded that Jesus offered the cup to his disciples after they had partaken of the bread. He blessed it, gave it to them, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord, bless us to your service. Dismiss us now with your loving kindness. Help us to go forth with joy and rejoicing because all that you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and true. Give us grace and strength. Encourage us along life's way. And Lord, help us to be shining lights in our world. We ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.